You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Occasionally, when the Nationals play the Orioles, that becomes the dominant number one topic on the show. We love talking about that Beltway rivalry, and we're going to kick off the Blitz in just a moment. We'll also cover the Nats and the Birds in the 5 at 5 today. But there's so much going on, we haven't even gotten to it, so we'll change that in just a second. The Capitals have lost goalie Vitek Vanacek. J.J. Reagan has a thought or two on that. Coming up this segment in our Blitz. And training camp is well under a week away now. We are closing in on the start of the football season. We waded through the desert, friends. There were no drinks. There was no snacks.
Very thirsty.
But now we get to quench our thirst. Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington on the football team, coming up on the Blitz. Let's get it started right now. The Nats have given themselves no choice but to string wins together. And they've got to win this series in Baltimore against the Orioles. Starts tonight. They've got three games. Patrick Corbin on the hill this evening. Heisty set the table for the weekend slate. This is, after all, the Craig Heist Bowl.
No, it's more like the Masson Cup, I think. But that's just me. Anyway, nice to have you back from the beach there, Danny. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Heisty, buddy.
And I was very jealous of you, too. Yeah, Patrick Corbin tonight, and it's a game that, with Jorge Lopez pitching for the Orioles, a game that at least on paper the Nats should fare fairly well with, but you know, again, you don't play them on paper, as we found out the other night against the Marlins, where after scoring 26 runs in two straight games against them, they managed just one run and lost that game 3-1. But again, it's about winning series. And, again, you'd like to get greedy and sweep this series because the Orioles swept the Nats. I'm sorry, the Nats swept the Orioles down at Nats Park earlier this year.
Heisty, is Andrew Stevenson their center fielder?
That's an interesting question. We were talking about that amongst ourselves. I don't think so as of yet. But and I haven't seen a lineup yet today.
He's in the lineup today. He's starting over. Well,
like hitting eighth, yeah.
Well, then that's certainly a possibility. I mean, let's face it, Victor's had his issues this year on the bases and at the plate. And, again, I don't think anybody's going to question his defense too much, but some better decisions on the base paths. And he's just never got it together offensively for this club. And so maybe Davey Martinez feels like this is the best chance to get more offense in the lineup.
Heisty, the report came out about 5 minutes ago, and it just stuns me, and it makes me sad, honestly. The Nats are playing in Baltimore, which is less than an hour from Nationals Park without traffic, and their broadcast teams are going to be in D.C. Charlie and Dave will be in D.C. calling the game from Nats Park, and Bob and FP or whoever's on TV tonight is going to be calling the game from the booth as well. How is that a thing?
Well, it's a thing, I think, just because of a money situation more than anything else. That's my guess. I have no inside information whatsoever, and I know that the Nats and the Orioles are not the only broadcast teams in baseball who are dealing with this. I know the White Sox had their radio team in here not too long ago at Camden Yards, and there's been one or two others. But I think this is just the way it's going to go for the two teams in this area for the remainder of the year.
Patrick Corbin, who we talked about at the top here, Heisty, he's on the bump tonight. He just frankly hadn't been very good in the calendar year 2020 and in the calendar year 2021. Is this right? Do you expect him to refine himself, or are we just kind of in for a long ride here with some nice memories of 19?
No, I think he'll find himself eventually. And again, he's pitched some very good games this year. He's pitched some not so good games. It has been up and down for him. The ERA is not where he wants it to be. certainly the record isn't not where he or the Nationals want it to be. But again, tonight, I wouldn't underestimate this Orioles lineup by any means in terms of being able to score runs. What lets them down constantly is their pitching staff. But if Patrick Corbin goes out there and does what he's supposed to do, which is get ground balls, use the slider and the sinker, and, you know, keep in mind, he can't be a fly ball pitcher in this ballpark. That's for sure. If he tries to do that tonight, he'll get hurt big time.
Yeah, I hate him throwing at Camden Yards. I'm just going to be very honest with you.
It's funny. Where I'm sitting, I'm looking right out into left field at that 364 mark.
Yeah, I've seen some balls fly over that wall a time or two. By the way, I wouldn't underestimate this Orioles lineup by any John Means either.
Yeah, well, how about that? That's a good. I see what you did there. How about that?
Appreciate you, Heisty.
All right, I'll see you guys.
See you, buddy.
Be well. Have fun. Eat a hot dog for me, or a glizzy, as Ryan and Darius call it. For some reason, I'll never understand.
I've never heard that word before the other day.
I've never heard it. You haven't heard a glizzy? Nope. You know, like when you make a glizzy. Please stop saying glizzy. Next on your Beltway Blitz, let's talk glizzy. J.J. Regan, NBC Sports Washington. Have you ever heard hot dog referred to as a glizzy?
Never heard that in my life. Wouldn't know what it was if I wasn't listening to your guys' conversation.
Yeah. You put it in a bun with ketchup and mustard, it's a glizzy.
It's now a glizzy.
No, it's not.
Is it?
No,
I can tell you what it is.
Not what it is.
It's a hot dog.
Hot dog with condiments on it.
We just call it a hot dog. J.J., no more Vitek Vanacek. Is Ilya Samsonov going to grow up and actually take the reins as the guy between the pipes?
Well, I think he silenced a lot of doubters with how he looked when he came back in the playoffs. I know there was the gaffe in overtime, but otherwise, that was the first moment where he strung together a few games together in a high-pressure situation where he looked like the number one goalie that the Capitals projected him to be. So that's definitely an encouraging development there. But, yeah, he's got to mature. He's got to grow up. And I know it's very cliche to say, well, when I was that age, I was doing some dumb stuff. But, yeah, when a team puts a multi-million-dollar investment in you, like the Capitals are about to with a new contract, then you got to grow up pretty quickly, and especially when you're going to be the number one goalie on the team. So he's going to have to grow up. But I have confidence in his abilities. His ceiling is definitely higher than it was for Vanacek. So the biggest issue with Vanacek is not so much that they lost the goalie. It's the financial issue. It's the fact that he was so cheap and the Caps are so tight against the cap. Somehow the Capitals lost a player for nothing, and they're going to lose money out of it because whoever they replace him with is going to be more expensive. So that's some cap gymnastics for you for the Caps.
First baseman for Major League Baseball, John Jasso Reagan. You mentioned the cap. It's like me after vacation. It's bloated, it's overweight, and there aren't really any good solutions. How are they getting better? They need to get better, and they're not in much of a position to get better. Are there going to be more of the same, maybe with some... Maybe, I don't know. I actually don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that is an issue. Clearly, they are not good enough as they are constituted right now, and they don't have the money to get better. In fact, they don't really have the money to re-sign both Ovechkin and Samsonov. So how are they going to get better? I think it's going to have to be addition by subtraction at this point. You know, I think with the cap situation being what it is, they have to at least discuss the possibility of a Kuznetsov trade, because if you get rid of a guy like maybe a Justin Schultz or a Brendan Dillon, that may not be enough cap room. And so then you're really hurting your defense there. With Kuznetsov, you can't trade him for draft picks. You're not better by that point. You have to try to get maybe a top six center, a second line center to play behind Backstrom at that point, because Kuznetsov still is a very good player. You can't lose him for nothing or draft picks or prospects, because this team still is in the hunt for a cup. So I think if I had to guess, a trade is inevitable at this point. Whether it's Kuznetsov, we'll have to see. But they have to clear salary. They're going to have to make a trade, and we're just going to have to see what they can get from that trade and how that helps them get better, because they have no choice.
JJ, thank you, pal. We appreciate you.
Anytime, guys.
That was the latest on the Caps. Let's talk football. Reminder, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk in 10 minutes, 4:25. The Vikings are going to be without their run game coordinator this year. Rick Dennison deciding he's not coaching rather than getting a vaccine. There's a second coach now who I guess has made a similar decision, according to Adam Schefter. another, probably not the last assistant to do so, he says, Patriots co-O-line coach Cole Popovich won't be with the team in 2021 in a decision related to the COVID-19 vaccine and NFL guidelines to assistant coaches. Pete Haley of NBC Sports Washington is with us. Pete, do we know, is the Washington coaching staff fully intact, and are they expected to keep all of their assistants on staff going into the year despite these policies?
We haven't heard anything as of yet about any changes to the staff, and I'm trying to think back to minicamp. We were kind of doing some box checking as we looked at the various coaches, seeing who were able to kind of hang out by the players, and from what we could tell, it seemed like all the guys were on the sidelines, all the guys were on the field, and there weren't many restrictions. So as far as I know, the team is going to be all down there in Richmond, but when we travel down there, Ron Rivera speaks to the press next Tuesday in the afternoon, and then action starts up on Wednesday. So maybe we won't hear anything until then, but certainly once we're on the grounds on Tuesday, we'll be able to do a little bit of attendance, and same thing on Wednesday when everything starts up. But yeah, this is opening a lot of different consequences. And of course, you had the news yesterday with games being forfeited to those who have unvaccinated outbreaks. That's going to have a bunch of consequences as well.
Non-QB division, what's their weakest link?
Weakest link to me, as of now, is until Jamin Davis proves that he can be a complete stud, I'm still a little bit sketched out about the linebacker crew. Now, this can all go away if he hits the ground running and proves that he is very much worthy of that 19th overall pick, and I think he will do that. But this is still a guy who only played 11 real games in college and who might be asked to do a lot. Now, I understand there's plenty around him. That D-line is, of course, really well advertised, and I think the secondary is going to be better than most expect. So if you're a linebacker coming into a defense, this is a great one to choose. But I've never been a huge fan of John Bostic, and while I think Cole Holcomb is a little bit underrated, it's not like he's going to be all of a sudden a Pro Bowler. So linebacker to me seems to be the one group on that defense. And, you know, I'm someone who's pro Ryan Fitzpatrick, so I'm okay with the quarterbacks, but I'm sure that would be something a lot of your listeners are pounding onto their steering wheels right now, calling me a jerk for not talking enough about quarterback, but I'm okay with Fitz back there, so I'll go with linebacker.
Pete, for all of our listeners in and around D.C. that are going down to training camp in Richmond over those days, I think it's a 1 week of camp in Richmond, what's the one place they should eat at, and why is it ZZQ?
It is ZZQ, and, you know, I feel like if I said anything other than that, John Kime would find my address, come inside, and hurt me very badly because he is the president of ZZQ. Yeah, Richmond is a great food scene all around. You should definitely hit ZZQ, but there are other places. It's just all up and down. They've had a great burger place called Boulevard Burgers, where you can have a beer, you can have a milkshake, you can have
Boulevard
burgers.
Boulevard Burgers is great, and it's right near the practice facility. You get a bacon cheeseburger and a milkshake. Let's go.
So good.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of all the other spots, but to me, in terms of convenience, in terms of atmosphere, and in terms of quickness from sitting down to food on the table, Boulevard has a personal spot in my heart. And then, of course, you know, they have, I think Asado closed down, which is heartbreaking, but plenty of other places, lots of good cheap food. Richmond is a tremendous food town, and if Danny got down there, my God, he would put on at least 30 pounds.
We have done it. We have done that before.
Southern and soul food, if that's your thing, Mama J's Kitchen.
Yes, great fried chicken. I actually sat across from Chick Hernandez one night at Mama J's, and he got the fried chicken, and then he started eating the bones. It was the most horrifying thing I've ever witnessed, hearing him crunch on the bones and swallow them, but I guess that's a thing some people do.
That's not a thing. He actually ate the bones.
He ate the bones?
Yeah, it was, I forget if it was chicken wings or fried chicken, but he said, Pete, I'm going to eat the bones. And I said, Chick, no, you're not. And he put a bone in his mouth and kept eye contact with me the whole time and ate them all the way down to nothing and then swallowed and then did that repeatedly. And I was ready to call the cops. It was the most psychotic thing I've ever seen.
That's the scariest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to text him now to get his side of that story. Pete, thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Much appreciated. That is your Beltway Blitz. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joins us next on Grant and Danny. There are two coaches who are out because they don't want to get vaccinated. Is this going to be something that we hear a lot more of in the coming days? We'll ask Mike in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Always happens on a Friday, huh? You sift through the week just waiting for something to happen. There's 46 things. You can do a 15-hour show on Friday. By Monday, nobody's going to care about any of them. So you want to be a radio host, huh? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. The Cleveland Indians will be the Cleveland Guardians. They announced well after the Washington football team they were changing their name. And they got their feet up. They're already in the clubhouse. They finished their 18.
they're having a cocktail in a stogie.
We're on the seventh hole, still asking fans in Section 313 what they want the name to be. We'll get back into that in just a little bit at 4:45. Also, Ken Carman, who does radio in Cleveland, will join us to discuss the reaction. But right now, huge news out of the NFL. Yesterday, the player side of things, what they're going to go through if they're unvaccinated and they test positive for COVID. What about coaches, we asked? Well, we got a lot of news on that front today. Right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter to Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Our buddy Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And Mike, I'm getting yelled at by people on Twitter, shocker, who are saying I need to use the word fired. I don't think anyone's been fired. It sounds like two assistants are opting out. What should we call this? There are two coaches that won't coach this year because they don't want to be vaccinated.
ESPN was premature in its reporting regarding Rick Dennison, the offensive line coach in Minnesota. The Vikings have issued a statement saying that his status is unresolved. And my understanding is he asked for an exemption. And while he was waiting to hear whether or not the exemption would be provided, here comes the report from ESPN that he's not going to coach this year. He believed, as I understand it, that if the exemption was denied, he'd still have a chance to get vaccinated, even though he'd prefer not to. And I think that he will still have that chance to get vaccinated. All the Vikings have decided for now is he's not getting an exemption. So if he wants a coach, he's going to have to get the vaccination, apparently.
Mike, I get the sense, after kind of initially being stunned yesterday, reading everything, trying to catch up on it, this is the NFL basically doing what I've done to my kids, and I just got back from the beach, and I did this to them about 5 minutes into our trip. I will turn the car around if. I get the sense that's what this is. I don't think they want to turn the car around. I think they want all the games to be played. I guess where I'm wondering is where the rubber meets the road here. How far will they take this?
There's not going to be any forfeitures this year, not with full stadiums. There weren't any forfeitures last year. There weren't any canceled games last year. The idea of the forfeiture tied only to outbreaks arising from the unvaccinated players or staff, not vaccinated. No forfeiture there, only a forfeiture for the unvaccinated. That was aimed at getting the players who haven't been vaccinated to realize they need to be vaccinated, to get them to understand there's a true competitive edge, that you're letting your team down, not only by potentially not being available to play, but also by potentially causing a forfeiture. And what it also does too, and this is where it can be very problematic for the league, because it cuts against the league's rule that you can't cut a player because he's not vaccinated. That memo creates like four or five different reasons why a team now, when trimming the roster from 90 to 53, will say, let's just get rid of the guys who aren't vaccinated as long as they're not key players or we're going to have some huge salary cap problem. We got to get rid of the guys who aren't vaccinated because it's the unvaccinated guys that potentially are going to cause us to lose games without even playing the games.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. The other of the assistants, you referenced the Dennison story and kind of updated that. Schefter's got today. Patriots co-offensive line coach Cole Popovich won't be with the team. in 2021 over COVID-19 guidelines. With these assistants, you may know who that is. I don't. I'll readily admit that. I mean, is it as simple as, I hate to say it this way, but like you're not important enough to us for us to deal with this. So you either do this or you're out. Like obviously Belichick, if he had his own opinions, that's a different thing. But whoever Cole Popovich is, they'll just move on without you. Am I oversimplifying it?
Well, and that's right. And they'll do it with the players too. When the players started to huff and puff yesterday, and that's a concern for a separate reason, but when they started to huff and puff yesterday about not playing, once it became clear that they really need to get vaccinated, well, okay, fine. The train's going to keep rolling. You don't want to play? We'll find someone to replace you. And I know DeAndre Hopkins, for example, isn't easily replaceable, but every year we've got injuries in August and September where guys are done for the year and they don't shut the season down. The train keeps going. So the NFL is in a position where it can be a little more forceful with the coaches because they're not in a union. They have to be more careful with the players. But I think this is a direct byproduct of the attitude that, hey, we want people who are vaccinated. The problem, though, is, and we're going to be writing something about this before too long, the union and the league have been trying, or at least the union's been trying, to avoid situations where players lash out against vaccines because they're very sensitive to the idea that that will be something that influences kids out there who look up to the players. And for every DeAndre Hopkins that says, I don't believe in the vaccine, how many kids out there that see that tweet use that as their basis for saying, well, I'm not getting the vaccine either. And they've been trying to avoid having players use their platforms to say things and tweet things and do anything that would suggest vaccine hesitancy.
Is that what you're referencing when you mentioned the players coming out for different reasons could be an issue?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL just wants these guys to get vaccinated, and the union's taking a broader public health look at this. The union could have easily agreed that all players must be vaccinated because in a union, majority rules. And if they would have put this to a vote, I mean, the fact that 80% of the members of the union already are vaccinated would tell you that you're at least going to get 50.1% who say, I'm fine with the vaccine being mandatory. The union didn't want to create a situation where you're forcing guys to do something because they will lash out and it cuts against the greater goal of not just getting NFL players vaccinated, but getting everyone to get vaccinated. And the louder the voices are, the prominent voices are against vaccination, the greater the risk that you're going to have people out there who say, well, if the guy whose jersey I wear on Sunday isn't getting vaccinated, then I'm not getting vaccinated either.
Mike Florio with us here on Grant and Danny. So I wanted to ask you about the union's role in all this. And I saw a tweet that you put out, which made a lot of sense to me. Because the overwhelming majority of union members have been vaccinated, that just sort of made sense that this would kind of fall in line. But are they serving the members well here in this case? Could they be using this maybe more as leverage to get something for their guys when it comes to this in the NFL?
Well, look, if the union and the league sat down to negotiate whether or not vaccines would be mandatory, I mean, the union could say, hey, we're fine with making it mandatory, but we want X
right
in return for it. At this point, I don't know if the league would do it because I think they're realizing they're getting there with their own methods. But, yeah, that's part of the balance. And I think from the broader public health standpoint, the union made the decision, you know what, we want guys who choose to do this. We don't want guys who are forced to do it. And I also think politically, for a guy like Dee Smith, who's run the union since 2009, if you end up getting yourself in a situation where a very small minority of players decide to be extremely vocal about something you did, which is what could happen here, that's when you got to watch your back. Even if 95% of all players get vaccinated, that 5% may be so pissed off that they've been forced to be vaccinated or they had to be forced to choose between football and not football, that's the kind of thing that could start a movement against you. So I just think for a variety of reasons, the best move is to not make it mandatory. And look, I'm a believer in the idea of people making their own decisions, not being forced to do things. But in this case, I'd like to think that people, if left to their own devices, would come to the right conclusion, which is get vaccinated.
At Pro Football Talk on Twitter, Mike, we're in D.C. where we were told initially that the Washington football team might have a new name in a year. And then pretty quickly, to Jason Wright's credit, he said, well, we're going to do this right. We're going to take our time. It's going to take a little longer. well after they said they were going to have a new name, the Indians came out and said they would change their name. And today, they've got their video, and Tom Hanks voiced it, and they're the Guardians as of the start of the year. What is taking the Washington football team so long? We've been told this takes forever. This is a long process. You can't rush this. I mean, it seems like the Indians didn't have that much of a problem.
Well, one of the big issues, remember, is the copyright, the trademark, protecting the ability to have the exclusive right to sell the jerseys, the hats, everything with the team name on it. And maybe it was easy to get Guardians because nobody really was out there squatting on Cleveland Guardians for good reason. I mean, I don't really like that name. So I'd rather be Cleveland baseball team than Guardians, frankly. And I think from Washington's perspective, and there was a report a few weeks back that they had tried to get federal trademark protection for Washington football team. And that guy who squats on all the names has jumped on it. And there was a thought that it was too generic and it was going to be a long extended battle there to try to get the copyright protection. The key is that they want a name that will clearly and unconditionally allow them to be the only ones in the world that can sell that merchandise, and no one else can set up shop on the fringes of the parking lot selling things with the team name on it and not being readily shut down with a cease and desist letter. That's it, plain and simple. It's preserving the ability to be the only one that sells the merchandise.
Mike, point to the center field bleachers. Call your shot here. Where does Aaron Rodgers play this year, and where does he play next year?
Well, man, that's this is something that I've put so much thought into for the last 4 months and ultimately gotten nowhere. Let me give you my current snapshot on this.
I've done the same thing, by the way.
here's where I'm thinking. I think, number one, Aaron Rodgers is going to show up next week. Number two, he's not going to say he's going to show up until he shows up because Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Packers, we'll be meeting with some salty cheeseheads on Monday at Lambeau Field for the annual shareholder meeting. And Rodgers has no reason to make that interaction any more pleasant or celebratory for Mark Murphy. Second, I think Rodgers' best path out of Green Bay is to show up this year. I think that Murphy doesn't want him, would prefer that he sit out the whole year. They get more than $30 million back, and then they trade him after the season. I think if he shows up and he makes the passive-aggressive comments and they – you know, they have to worry about everything he's going to say and do. That could cause Mark Murphy. And all he's got to do is roll out of bed one day between now and week one and say, let's just trade this guy to Denver. I think there's a chance he gets traded to Denver if he shows up. I think he's showing up. I think that it's more likely than not he plays for the Packers. But I think his best way to get traded is to show up and just be kind of a subtle pain in the ass and hope that Mark Murphy decides to move him to Denver.
Any chance he doesn't? I've kind of thought all along like you that he's going to. And I don't mean right away, but like, is there any chance at the end of training camp he's still not there and he's nowhere to be found?
Oh, I think there's a chance that happens, but my guess is he's going to be there. And I've been just like looking for little indications. And the one thing that did it for me, at the end of the OTA sessions, they were talking to Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Packers, and they're asking him why they have so many quarterbacks under contract when Jordan Love's getting all of the first team reps. And he was explaining, well, you know, you need to have enough guys there during individual drills. You want NFL quarterbacks to be throwing passes to receivers and running backs. And he made a comment along the lines of, you know, when we get closer to training camp, we'll have some clarity and we'll probably make some moves. And just the way he said it, that was the lightning bolt for me that, number one, Aaron Rodgers has no issue with Matt LaFleur. They've had a great relationship. Number two, Aaron Rodgers probably would clue LaFleur in on whether or not he's going to be there. So LaFleur knows what he's going to be doing when late July, August roll around, who's getting ready to be quarterback. I think Rodgers has told LaFleur he's going to be there. That was the moment for me back in June where it's like, he's going to be there and he's told his coach he's going to be there. And now he's just messing with Mark Murphy at this point.
Mike, you're the best, buddy. Have a great weekend, man. Thanks.
All right. See you guys.
Appreciate the insight. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. That might have set a new record. For quickest hang up in the game.
Quick
right
on
there.
The draw right there, dude.
Mike Lombardi needs to train. He needs to up his game. He previously had the fastest hang up in show history. He might have just got topped right then and there. Ryan, I mean, before he even touched the... Normally, I put a guy on hold and then Ryan will pick him up and thank him.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get Florio on hold. You didn't even get to touch a button, let alone say goodbye.
Nope. Not. He's a quick one.
So if that's a house phone or a landline, you've got your finger hovering over that, like the hang-up headset thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like the click type button. That's the only way to be that quick.
He's a busy bee.
You can't take your cell phone down, move your thumb, and find end. that quickly. There's no way.
I'll say he's got a lot going on. Yeah. Got a lot of jobs. Very powerful man in football. Appreciate Mike Floro joining us. How about Davey Martinez moments ago updating Steven Strasburg's health? And it is not good. Another setback to tell you about, perhaps? We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny. And speaking of baseball, Cleveland's baseball team got a new name. Yay.
Hey, it's a name.
Anybody in D.C. want a new name for anything? This is The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I mean, this Steven Strasburg injury, recovery, rehab. Can't call it rehab if he's not pitching in games, I guess.
Yeah, it's not rehab anymore.
It never ends. Steven Strasburg, according to all the reporters that just talked to Davey in his press conference, had an uncomfortable, that's the word they used, feeling in his neck in a recent throwing session and has been backed down, according to Davey. He said the team is now looking at their next options, which include another specialist, an extra opinion, etc.
That's the part where it's not the bell of joy that goes off. It's the alarm bell. That's the one right there where they did this earlier with Will Harris, where we go, we can't figure it out. We're going to send him to see another guy. And then we'll just try to deal with it. And then you can't deal with it. And then he doesn't pitch anymore. They don't know what to do because every time he tries to throw more, it hurts. This is not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay.
And the Mets just traded for a pitcher in Rich Hill. Six games up in the division going into today. The Nats keep saying Stras is coming back. He's going to pitch this year. Maybe. By the way, I don't buy that. I've never really thought he was going to pitch again this season. And they know better than I do, so I hope they're right. But my bigger concern is not will he pitch this year. Will he be Steven Strasburg this year? You know, the guy that was the World Series hero and the World Series MVP. Coming back is one thing. Actually being able to pitch to the point where you can go seven innings and strike out nine and dominate and be a Cy Young caliber arm. Is he going to come back and he's on some innings restrictions where we'll get him up, you know, 50, 60, 70 pitches. We're throwing 3 1/3 innings. No, I want Steven Strasburg. He will not be Steven Strasburg this year. After today's update, it's almost August. I feel pretty good about that. By the way, there's 2 months left in the baseball season, essentially. So today we find out he had some discomfort. He was uncomfortable. And this is in these bullpen sessions where he's throwing 35 pitches. He can't get through them without feeling discomfort. And what is that anyway? What is uncomfortable? What is discomfort in his neck? I don't know what that is.
I don't either. I'm just upset. I'm not directing my anger at anybody. If it sounds like I'm directing anger at Strasburg or the team, I'm not. I'm just frustrated.
No, an injury is an injury.
An injury, it stinks.
I'm not going Rob Dibble on you.
No, I know.
I'm just saying.
I'm not accusing you either. I just want to make sure I'm
clarifying. This is annoying.
Yes, I'm upset.
Never forget that it started with he's not hurt. It's just his mechanics. He was hurt. He was throwing 88 miles an hour. Don't tell me he's not hurt. This isn't Back to the Future. I don't want to hear about 88 miles an hour and Steven Strasburg.
Thank you for that zing.
Thank you. I don't think Ryan got that zing, by the way. Ryan, if you wouldn't mind, we'd like to bring you on the show very quickly. The reference, Back to the Future and 88 miles an hour. What are we looking for here?
The movie Back to the Future?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
The movie.
You're on the right track.
Is that it?
But that's not the answer. The question is, in the movie Back to the Future, what is the reference to 88 miles per hour?
To where they're going back to the future. They're going 88 miles per hour back to the future. I don't know.
That's really interesting.
I think it is clear that you do not
Thank
know.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, where were we? Oh, yes, of course. I am so frustrated.
By Strasburg?
No, but I don't get frustrated at him anymore.
Yeah.
I got over that. I just stand in awe.
I love it.
I'm in awe of Ryan. The Strasburg thing. And you've got this year in mind, and good for you. I mean that. Good for you. You can do that. I'm going, oh my God, this contract. That's where I am. Is that fair? No. But is it on my mind? Yep. Is this now that, well, he won the World Series, he was the MVP, thank God he did that, but that was it. Those were the last bullets. And we're now sitting here counting down the days where this team cannot compete because the largest contract that's going to be on the books for years and years and years and years is this dude that may never be right.
7 years, $245 million. At about 30 years old for a guy who had a terrible injury history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think I'm going to end up being the guy that screams about that contract because I'm pretty sure I was okay with that contract. And I don't think that's fair to the Nationals. Now, I absolutely wanted to sign Rendon over Strasburg. And for the record, he hasn't had a particularly good season and he's
absolutely
been injured a lot.
Totally
but
thing.
He will eventually get back to being Anthony Rendon and he's a great player. But I don't remember being upset or thinking that was a terrible idea. You can't keep that guy. I wanted to keep as much of that band together. We're coming off of him pitching like a hero and being the World Series MVP. So I was happy when they re-signed him, partially because it just meant they spent money on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really do that. They don't spend $200 million. They don't spend seven-year contracts since Max Scherzer. It's just not what they do. So it was cool to see that. I would like to be in a place where I would have back then said, wait a second. This guy doesn't pitch full seasons. This guy never stays healthy. This is the anomaly. This was the exception, not the rule with this guy. Why are we giving him $245 million over 7 years? But you're right. I mean, if he can put this behind him, and this is the rearview mirror, and next year he makes 32 starts and he pitches to a 3-2 ERA or whatever with a bunch of strikeouts and he goes 6-plus innings most of the time, no problem. The issue I have, bigger picture, is looking at him and looking at Corbin, who signed a 6-year contract.
Uh-huh.
Now, luckily, I think they're halfway through it after this year. But you still have 3 more years of Patrick Corbin being paid like a middle-of-the-rotation starter.
Through 2024.
When he's now basically a 4.5 or a 5, essentially. He reminds me of late-career Gio Gonzalez. You've got Strasburg, who's paid to be a World Series MVP, who every time he throws 30 pitches in a bullpen starts creaking his neck and feels something weird.
Again, the thing that I care the most about when it comes to this is we have 2 calendar years of this. And I know 2020 was weird. I'm very aware. I was there too. But I kept beating the drum on Corbin, and I'm doing the same thing here on Strasburg. This is now 2 years of whatever this is, where he's leaves half his starts before the end of the first inning, and he's throwing 86. Patrick Corbin, now we're on the second calendar year where he gets hit like he's a midweek starter at Towson. Like, this is not okay. They won the World Series, and that joy will last forever, and I chugged those beers, and I got that ring, and I'll look at it, and I'll watch Howie Kendrick's homers on YouTube once a month for the rest of my life, probably. But given where we are now, that glow is going to start to wear off, and people are going to look up and go, oh my God, they're stuck. They're screwed. That's my fear.
7 starts since the World Series for Strasburg in what has been the 2020 season, shortened to 60 games. And this season, where they're well over halfway through, about 2/3 of the way.
I think he's left 3 of them with injury, I believe. If I got that number right,
of the 7, it's at least 3. If it's not 4, 26 innings since then. 26 hits, 17 earned runs. You're talking about an ERA in the fives or sixes since the World Series while leaving with injury over and over and over again. If you guys want to hop in on Strass before our 5 at 5 next, you can. 800-636-1067. We are going to be talking about the Cleveland Indians becoming the Cleveland Guardians. Tom Hanks emceeing their little video that they put out. He narrated their presentation as their new name was released. Who should narrate DC's? Want to get into that with you next hour on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.